This is VOA News via remote. I'm Liz Pelka. 2 days before U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration and sweeping security screenings are happening to protect the event from a potential insider attack. The Federal Bureau of Investigations is screening 25,000 National Guard members assigned to Washington, D.C. and the inauguration. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the Associated Press that he and other leaders have not seen any evidence of any threats. He added, so far, the vetting had not turned up any issues among the Guard members. McCarthy said there are intelligence reports suggesting outside groups are organizing armed rallies ahead of Inauguration Day. Security is an even bigger focus than usual with the inauguration, coming 2 weeks after thousands of supporters of outgoing President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol. The president had urged them to march to the building as lawmakers met to certify Biden's victory. A Moscow judge ruled Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny should be held in police custody for 30 days. This following his arrival back in Russia Sunday, when he was immediately detained. Sunday marked his first time back in his home country since the Russian opposition leader was poisoned last August and evacuated for treatment abroad. His return capped a nearly five-month journey that began when he was poisoned with a Soviet-era military-grade nerve agent while traveling in Siberia last August. Navalny has openly accused President Vladimir Putin of ordering Russia's security services to carry out the attack, a charge the Kremlin vehemently denies. Russian authorities say his detention was justified, arguing Navalny was in violation of a parole stemming from a 2014 sentence. This is VOA News. Western leaders have demanded the release of Navalny. Germany released a statement via a spokesperson that read, "The Russian authorities have arrested the victim of an attempted assassination with a chemical weapon, not the perpetrator." Germany and other European leaders called for the 44-year-old politician's release, while the United Nations Human Rights Office said it was deeply troubled by Navalny's arrest. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said on Twitter he was deeply troubled by the arrest. He went on to say, "Confident political leaders do not fear competing voices, nor see the need to commit violence against or wrongfully detain political opponents." U.S. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris has formally resigned her Senate seat. This is in preparation for her inauguration on Wednesday alongside President-elect Biden. Harris has served as a senator representing the western state of California since 2017. Governor Gavin Newsom chose fellow Democrat Alex Padilla to serve the final 2 years of Harris's term. Padilla is currently California's Secretary of State. He's a Mexican-American and will be the first Latino senator to represent the state. Harris did not give a farewell speech on the Senate floor. The chamber is not scheduled to reconvene until Tuesday. Coronavirus deaths are rising in nearly two-thirds of American states. This as a winter surge pushes the overall toll toward 400,000 amid warnings that a new, highly contagious variant is taking hold. As Americans observed a national holiday Monday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo pleaded with federal authorities to block travelers from countries where new variants are spreading. He cited new versions detected in Britain, South Africa, and Brazil. A vast effort is underway to get Americans vaccinated, but the campaign is off to an uneven start. According to the latest federal data, about 31 million doses of vaccine have been distributed, but fewer than 11 million people have received at least one dose. A former Sudanese Civil War refugee who survived torture and homelessness to become a doctor is winning a claim for saving COVID-19 patients' lives in South Africa. Dr. Emmanuel Malish Taban was recently named one of the 100 most influential Africans of 2020 by London-based New African magazine. The U.S. Embassy in Juba, South Sudan, congratulated the doctor for the continental recognition. Taban successfully uses a procedure known as flexible fiber optic bronchoscopy on critically ill COVID-19 patients. Via remote, I'm Liz Pelka, VOA News.